We're going to look at the gospel. And the theme, of course, is the vine. Now, it's going to be the same kind of a theme as Isaiah. There's a whole other text where our Lord says, I am the vine. Now, so many of these texts that we've read, others that I could read, point out that the vine is Israel. That's what Isaiah was saying. That's what that Psalm 80 says, Psalm 78 rather, says. So now he's going to talk about us. And so the Lord says, and he's speaking to the chief priests and elders. Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it. They know right where he's going, don't they? They know the scriptures. They know he's going to Isaiah 5. They know it. But then he's going to change the story. Dug a wine press in it and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants. This was very common up in Galilee. A rich, wealthy landowner owned acres, maybe miles of land, and he lent it out, you know, or rented it out. And then the rent was part of the harvest, a good part of the harvest. So, you see, he dug a wine press, pulled a tower, and then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. So now, it's the same image, and they know where he's going, but he's changing the rest of the story. Going to make it harder, actually. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Who are they? We all know, right? Those are the prophets. It's so clear what our Lord is doing. And he's going to bring it right up to date. You see, they went, you see, he sent his servants to obtain the fruit. And there was none. In fact, those servants, the prophets, were beaten and killed. Okay? So the landowner, who is the Dod, the beloved one from Isaiah, you see, is having all his servants badly treated. Then the text goes on. Huh? Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Then he says, finally, he sent his son to them, thinking they will respect my son. Our Lord is telling this tale. He knows very well the father didn't think they would respect his son because he sent him to die on the cross. But in the story, give them a break. Maybe they'll have a change of heart. You see? So now the vineyard is Israel, and the owner is God. And the final one to come to collect, to enjoy, to reap the fruit is the Son. Now, it just so happens, some experts tell us, that the law in that time in Galilee was that if a rich man owned this property and he had tenant farmers living on it, if he died without a son, they could inherit that property. So there's something behind what is going on here, you see? He's telling this story. Our Lord is saying, what you really want is to kill me and continue to rule the people the way you're ruling them. Have the power, have the money, enjoy the prestige. You want to keep the vineyard for yourself. And that's part of the story. I must say, as a priest, this is a temptation we have, isn't it? You know, we want to keep the vineyard for ourselves. Oh, Father Jones is a great preacher. Oh, he's such a nice guy. He's really good with the youth. I hope so. But we're tending a vineyard that belongs to God. And if God comes along in one form or another, and we wouldn't dare kill him, we can't, but we could try to eliminate him, you know, and be a rock star. That's not the way to go. We are tenant farmers. We are there to care for this vineyard. Okay. So they said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance." That's why I wanted to explain the law. That's not fanciful. Okay? They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Jesus was killed outside the city. You see? What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes? Now, I don't know. You see, he's talking to the chief priests and elders of the people. They're on the spot. What are they going to say? They have to say, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times, the fruit at the proper times." They have to say that. What's he going to say? He's going to kill them all? He's going to punish them all? I mean, no. And as it says at the very end of this thing here, in a part that we don't read so much, they knew he was talking about them. Now our Lord answers, you see, and he says, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord this has been done, and this has been wonderful in our eyes.'" Now whether, because he's dealing with people who know right away what he's doing, right? That's a line from Psalm 118. And they know it. Now, we have evidence, mostly in a Targum, an Aramaic translation. You see, the word for builders would be bonim. And the word for sons would be banim. And so, some of the translations say, put in the word sons, banim. And so, you see, whether that text in that form was known in the first century, we don't know. But it could have been. In other words, it's an allusion to David, rejected by the sons, has become the cornerstone. That is, the other sons of Jesse were not. So now we have a question of David and the son of David. In any case, it's very clear that the builders rejected, the tenants rejected the son. And this has been done by the Lord. That is, this is God's plan. And then the concluding line, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." Now, what can we learn from this? We're all warned here to watch hardness of heart. How do we get hard of heart? We keep on sinning until we have an habitual pattern of sin in some area. It can be anger, pride, unchastity, and we get hard. And when we get hard of heart, we lose clarity of vision. We don't see well. We don't understand well. In fact, it can get so bad, as the tradition says, the punishment for sin is sin. We go on making ourselves harder and harder. So the gospel today is calling us, you know, to look first at our Lord's clear-sighted commitment to being rejected and killed. He knows where he's going, and he knows it's the Father's will. Then look at our Lord's compassion. He's warning them, his enemies, that they could change and it would be all right. But if they don't change, it's all going to be taken away from them. And they don't change because they don't allow God to soften their heart. Now, how does this apply to us? Let's take negligence first. Every Sunday, we are supposed to be coming together with the community of believers and honoring God and rejoicing in the presence of one another and helping the poor. That's what John Paul II spoke about in his instruction on the word, on the Dies Domini, on the day of the Lord. We can get so hardened that once a month, once every 2 months, once every 3 months, we go to Mass. What happens from there? We drift from the Word of God, we drift from the Eucharist, we drift from the company of others who are real believers, who can be friends and can help us. You see how it happens, huh? Little by little. Or it can be in other areas as well, huh? It can be in the area of contraception. It could also be, please God, no, in the area of abortion. Abortion is murder. We can get so hardened that even if we're not committing abortion, we're defending those who think it's a right. It can never be a right to kill somebody else. You have a right to self-defense that might involve killing somebody else. But you're not, and that never occurs with abortion. Abortion is not an act of self-defense. If it ever so happens that the woman has to be operated on and the child in the womb may be endangered, Catholic teaching for hundreds of years has said, that's all right. You're not trying to kill the child, you're trying to save the mother, and you're hoping the child will not be killed. When I studied theology, we already learned about that, principle of double effect. But that's not what's being talked about nowadays. Or there can be other areas. We can be prejudiced, just don't like some class of people. And it hardens our heart so that we don't ever have a heart open to them. Now, what happens with a hard heart? Stupidity. We might be brilliant economists, accountants, lawyers, preachers, theologians, whatever. But we're obtuse. We don't see its real meaning. Even though we can play with it, say intelligent things about it, we don't really know its true significance. So this warning today, this gospel we have today, which climaxes all the readings we've had, is to say, my friends, you are my vineyard. I have taken care of you. I have baptized you, confirmed you, preached the word to you, forgiving you your sins, forgiving you your sins, and protected your family life. Now don't turn from me. Let me make you holy. You need it. The church needs it. The whole human race needs it. I'm coming to you looking for fruit. And that fruit is love, friendship, concern for others, courage, and an ability to stand by my teaching no matter what the opposition. Amen.